The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
This time yesterday on the show, we were debating the issue of housing. We had various spokespersons, including the minister, on the show. Tomorrow, we're going to be discussing justice and kind of two issues high up on people's priority list. The cost of living as well, infrastructural issues, you name it. Climate change, according to most of the opinion polls, high up on people's list, but it seems absent from the debate thus far. Oisin Coughlan is with me, Chief Executive of Friends of the Earth Ireland, and Enno Doherty, columnist with the Irish Independent. Oisin, is that maybe you might disagree with my assessment. Is that fair? It does seem a little absent.
I don't think it's entirely absent. I mean, I think in the media debates about around the election, it's actually getting as much coverage, if not more coverage, than it's got before. I've heard two dedicated radio debates, and it got a good chunk of the first TV leaders' debate on Monday night compared to some issues that didn't feature as much. So it is getting some coverage. But like, I think it's fair to say it isn't as much of a zeitgeist issue or a doorstep issue as it was 4 years ago. But I do think there's an issue there that maybe that politicians may confuse the noise with the signal, as they say in statistics. So the last 4 years ago, the noise was Greta Thunberg, it was the school strikes, Extinction Rebellion, and it was kind of the fresh new issue.
It was zeitgeisty.
Exactly. Now, to be fair, there are lots of other issues have happened since, like COVID, like the Ukraine war, like the cost of living crisis, really important issues. So, and then, of course, immigration has become an issue, although it hasn't taken off in this election campaign either, for better or worse. So there's a lot of this going on out there. But actually, when you look at the public opinion poll data underneath, actually, the signal is stronger than ever. The Irish public support for climate action is stronger than it was 5 years ago. So it mightn't be as much of a zeitgeist issue, but it is there underneath. I'll give you one example. We asked Ireland Thinks to do some polling for us last month, and they came up with two interesting findings. One is we asked them to find out what people thought the government had made progress on. And of those issues like crime and immigration and housing and health, actually, climate was the one where people thought the government had made most progress, and across various parties, including Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So no sign of a pushback that they thought the government was doing too much. And actually, when we asked them, is the government doing too much, enough or too little? 40% said too little, 30% too much, enough, and 20% too much. And again, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voters saying, a third of them saying we should be doing more faster. So again, no sign of a pushback, and only 10% of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voters saying we're going too fast. So there you hear a bit of noise out on the campaign trail that backbenchers are voters for Fine Gael and Fine Gael pushing back on the Greens in government. Actually, their own voters, three times as many people think they're not doing enough, fast enough. So I actually think there is this sort of media narrative, but actually I think the underlying reality is better.
Ian, do you think the media narrative doesn't reflect reality on the ground?
I don't think it reflects reality at all. And I think Oisin made a couple of interesting points there. And one of them, excuse me, which he briefly alluded to, was the amount of time that it got on the debate the other night. And I think I thought it was very disproportionate, the segment that they gave to climate change. A lot of people I spoke to agreed.
It got too much time.
It got too much time, particularly when you consider that immigration, which would be one of the top two topics on most people's list of conversations. That was just very, very briefly touched upon. Now, I know we're going to go back into it for the next debate with the three leaders, but a lot of people would have wanted to see what the others had to say. Excuse me. And I think what that exposed was what we saw the other night was that there seems to be a growing disconnect between the political and the media classes in terms of what they focus on, what they're talking about, and what regular people are talking about. I can honestly say that in normal conversations that I have with just, you know, neighbours and friends and colleagues, climate doesn't really come up at all, unless we're given out about Just Stop Oil or something like that, or unless people are given out about are we going to be taxed more because we're not hitting the EU carbon emissions list, or else we're laughing about the absolute farce that was COP29 in Azerbaijan. And that sums up the view of an awful lot of people that basically, excuse me, worrying about the climate is kind of luxury thinking. And again, Oisin made a good point there that, I mean, we were more interested in this 4 or 5 years ago. And Greta Thunberg was the kind of poster child and for people who cared. But people don't have that luxury anymore. We're more worried about the cost of living. We're more worried about housing. We're more worried about immigration. Whereas, and actually people I know are more worried about environmental issues than they are about climate issues. That's why even me as a, you know, slightly curmudgeonly kind of figure, I don't mind kind of recycling and things like that. Because that's something that the individual knows they can actually have an impact on the environment around them. We can actually all do something to improve the environment around us. Whereas when it comes to climate, all we're being told is, you know, a percentage per ton of carbon dioxide. And people just tune out. And I guarantee you, like, if anybody who's honest when they're listening to this, if they're asked...
because it's too abstract, though? That's, you know what I mean? Percentage to a large extent.
And it's
dioxide.
Also too punitive. Yeah. Because anytime people hear about it, you know, we all want a nice, you know, climate and all that. But anytime they hear about it, they're basically told that the new boiler is going to cost extra amount of money, that they're going to have to get their house insulated and that's going to cost them 15 grand. That everything comes with a cost. And at a time when people don't have any extra cash, this is not something they're prepared to spend money on. That's, as I said, it is the definition of a luxury.
Because I want to go back to Oisin on that, but how do you explain then in those kind of in polling data why it keeps coming up as a priority for people?
Because it's easy to say things in polls. Look, if we were to believe polls, Britain would still be in the EU. Trump would be presenting The Apprentice. He wouldn't have got into the
but those
House.
Opinion polls were only kind of a couple of percentage points off. That's a fair point. But the Brexit opinion polls were like 2 percentage points off. Most of the opinion polls had Trump-Harris on a knife edge. And listen, it was a few percentage points off. But even allowing for climate to be a few percentage points off, it still would come up relatively high on people's...
We're talking about climate polls, we're talking about polls of interest, not polls of result. And there's a difference, right? In terms of the polls of interest, of course, because the thing is, if you're asked about climate, nobody's going to turn around and say, no, I don't care about the climate. Or no, I hate the climate, right? Of course you're going to say that you care about the climate. The question is, not do you care about the climate, but how much... And how much are you prepared to sacrifice? Yeah. And how much are you prepared to pay?
Oisin, there is an element of truth in that. I mean, there is significant pushback when rubber meets road in terms of the implementation of climate policy compared to the kind of the abstract support for it. Yes, I'm all for the government doing things. Oh, I don't want them to do something that's going to cost me money.
So I want to come back to the question of, is it a luxury? Is climate action a luxury in a minute? But I think there is something that is worth addressing, which is, at a time when people are facing a cost of living crisis, we've been saying to all the parties, they've got to make the climate actions resonate with people's everyday material concerns and do talk about them and do them in a way that makes people's lives better. And that, there are lots of evidence that can be done. We're pretty sure it can be done. Ask all the people who are benefiting from the local link services in Dingle.
But can I ask you, the reason you're asking the parties that, should I take it then implicit in that is an acknowledgement that it's been too preachy heretofore. Telling people how they should live. This is what you should be doing. You should feel bad about the way you're doing those things.
I don't know if that's actually what has happened. It does get presented that way sometimes.
I think that's the perception that exists, though. And perception is reality.
Here's the thing. It is partly because centre-right parties have wanted to use things like carbon tax. It was Fine Gael who started to increase the carbon tax because they don't want to make the system changes to our energy system or our business system or our data centre system to make the underlying pollution levels less. We think it should be about system change of energy, food, transport, etc. And take an easy example. People love it when the public transport system changes. The flat fare in Dublin of €2 is hugely popular. Usage rates have gone way up. The rural link services that are coming online now are hugely popular. The same is true when people get their... I totally agree it's too expensive for lots of people and that needs to be addressed. When people get their home insulated, they love it. It's warmer, it's clean air, it doesn't require as much fuel, as much money to spend. Solar panels are taking off around the country, but absolutely there's a barrier around
cost.
But
the luxury point you wanted to come back to
The luxury point is climate action, and maybe Ian is being provocative for the purposes of the debate, but to say that
wouldn't
climate
be action...
Never. Never.
I resemble that remark, sir.
To say that climate action is a luxury, and I know what I'm going to... Ask the people in Valencia or in Malaga right now, is climate action a luxury? Never mind the people in Pakistan or Sudan who are suffering from droughts and floods. It may not have been an issue on the doorstep in the Spanish elections last year. It is literally an issue on the doorsteps in Valencia and Malaga now. Whether we're interested in climate or not, climate is interested in us and it's going to come for us. And we have an interest. I've heard the people on here saying, oh, why we're so small. We have an interest in the world doing its enough to stop climate breakdown. And therefore, we have to do our fair share.
Ian, is Valencia an example of the intangible made manifest?
No, it's an example of human error. And this has been pointed out by Spanish civil engineers for years. Basically, they diverted the river in Valencia back in 1959 after the last really bad floods. And people were saying that this was potentially, with the wrong conditions at the wrong time, this could be a disaster. And if you look at Valencia, it really was like something from a horror movie. But they diverted the river in the wrong way. They get this. This is not an unheard of. It's an unusual but not unheard of.
But it's happening
climatic occurrence.
Extreme and then, but
even
I'll
go back into the last, one of the really big ones I saw, and this really irked me was that the wildfires in Lahaina in Hawaii that turned a piece of paradise into the apocalypse. And that people were talking about that being climate change. That actually had nothing to do with climate change. That was the change in agricultural methods that were there. And I know that because I used to go on holidays there. And I could see it even back then when I was going on holidays, people were warning that this is a disaster that's waiting to happen. And it wasn't because, and yet, even though that wasn't anything to do with climate change, the climate change people lumped it in. And that's what annoys people, that when everybody, when everything is blamed on climate change, and then it turns out that it's actually not. It's just
the science,
entirely different
circumstances. The science is really clear that these things are more likely with the warmer the globe, the warmer the atmosphere gets. And the attribution science is developing. There may or may not be misattribution in the public debate at times, but the attribution science is getting...
But what can we do about it, Oisin? Like when you
we can stop burning fossil fuels.
Well, say that to the Chinese who keep on opening... They're opening three coal mines a month.
That's not true anymore. The Chinese put more solar energy in play last year than the entire global amount.
Yes, and they also put more carbon dioxide into the air.
51% of cars sold in China this year are electric. China is leading the transition at this point. All
can
countries
you not
could
see
go faster.
That they're doing that? They're basically... greenwashing.
They're making money from it. They're selling it.
They're selling greenwashing,
the
right?
Just the because solar panels across the world.
Excuse me, and they're dealing off economies of scale that we simply can't get it.
Well, if we, I hope Trump doesn't put tariffs, or the EU doesn't put tariffs on Chinese solar panels and Chinese electric vehicles, because that would be just depriving our citizens of the cheapest, most easy to get, most accessible.
Them
most
and
affordable.
Mexican cars are going to be the first things he's going to start putting tariffs on, and you know that.
We don't need him to. Sorry, the European Union are putting tariffs on electric vehicles.
The EU, that's counterproductive for their own citizens.
Coming from China to protect jobs in Germany, it'll cost consumers in Ireland. That's a slightly different issue. We're actually going to be talking later in the show about this kind of boss of Cantor Fitzgerald who's going to be running the Commerce Department in the United States and what it might mean for tariffs and everything like that.
Can I make one more point about Just Stop Oil?
You make a very, very quick point.
There's a recent paper published, a research paper published in the UK that shows those activists, they make noise that you don't like. Support for moderate organisations goes up when that stuff is happening.
All right.
Who
somebody's texted
paper?
In. Somebody has texted in wondering whether Ian would recommend Hawaii as a holiday destination. It's amazing the things people care about.
Anyway, yes, I most certainly would.
Ian O'Doherty, columnist of the Irish Independent. Oisin Coughlan, chief executive of Friends of the Earth Ireland. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.